Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It's 6:09. I feel like we all need to get together and have a group hug. God, it's good to be back here.
You need another one?
God, it's good to be back.
How many do you need?
I feel like I've had a bad dream for the last year and a half, and I just woke up on the seventh floor, walked downstairs to the Showcase Studios.
And it's all decorated and twinkling lights.
It's festive.
Just to welcome you.
Thanks to Tree Time, they decorated the studio again. It's fantastic, and they repainted the Showcase Studio here. It looks great. Took a picture, put it on Instagram. If you want to check it out, you can find me at Pete McMurray. Andy Mazur's here. Mary is here. This is awesome. I mean, it
good
is
to
just
have you.
Great to be back. I wanted to ask you about Dave Roberts. He was the manager of the year. I was reading Facebook yesterday, Andy. A lot of people up in arms that Joe Maddon didn't
get it. Don't be up in arms. Would you rather have the World Series championship or the manager of the year?
That's exactly what I wrote on people's Facebook pages.
Listen, you know,
who cares about the manager of the year? You won the World Series after 108 years.
And he's already won. How many times?
Yeah, he's already won three times.
Yeah.
I've known Dave Roberts for a while. We go back to our San Diego days together. He was the bench coach with the Padres when I was down there. And a quality human being. And what he was able to do without maybe, I believe he was at one point, without four-fifths of his starting rotation. And one of those was a former Cy Young Award winner that you might have heard of, Clayton Kershaw.
Rings a bell.
They managed to come back and overtake the Giants for the National League West title. And then they beat the Nationals in a very spirited five-game series.
I feel
series.
Like Kershaw just pitched throughout the entire playoffs.
I think he pitched all five
every
games.
Every other game.
Yeah, and then they ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw called the team that won it all, the title, the Chicago Cubs.
Is this true? Dave Roberts had 28 different guys on the DL more than any other team in the last 30 years.
Absolutely true.
So he deserves it.
He does. And it was his first year as a manager. It was his first year as a big league skipper. And I really think he did an admirable job with what he had. I mean, you could tell toward the end of the year, they were searching for pitching. That's the only reason Clayton Kershaw pitched in every other game.
God, he was so good.
Yeah.
God, he scared me. And Kyle Long is done for the season for the Bears.
Kyle Long done. He injured the ankle, and Will Sutton also on IR at this point. So, the news does not get much better for the Bears. You know, they lose the game in Tampa in ugly fashion, and then all of a sudden you find out that Alshon Jeffrey is suspended four games for the PED violation, and now you're going to be without Kyle Long.
I'm a season ticket holder for the Chicago Bears, section 251, north end zone, 10 rows up from the time clock, and I give them money every single year.
You do?
Every year I give the Bears money, and every year at this time I get angry.
You know, the thing about what the Bears are doing right now, it was the same things I used to complain about the Cubs. Pick a direction.
I don't get it. Who do you root for on the Chicago Bears? I know we talk to Hamp twice a week, but
Hamp's still...
He's
had it. I don't blame him. John Fox was not the right guy for this type of a situation. If you're trying to rebuild, you don't want to get a veteran coach in here that, you know, is expected to win division titles.
I feel like everybody's done
over
there.
I think he's done.
Just clean house. Get rid of Jay Cutler and his bad attitude.
But you got to have a backup to get rid of him.
We need a feisty young guy.
Yeah. Who's out there?
I don't know. Who's out there, Andy?
I'm here.
Andy, who's out there? Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk to the mayor of Washington, Illinois, Gary Menier. It was 3 years ago tomorrow that tornado hit, and they're having a prayer breakfast tomorrow. And guess who is the minister at the prayer breakfast?
Who's that?
Central Illinois. His son was in the World Series. Ring a bell?
Oh, Zobrist.
Zobrist.
Ben Zobrist's father.
Nice.
Is going to be overseeing the prayer breakfast in Washington. We'll talk to Mayor Menier. I'm from Central Illinois, and I became friends with them the last 3 years. We did a live show down there 3 years ago, and they rebuilt that city. It looks fantastic. And Brian Bickle, who announced over the weekend that he has MS, will join us at 7:40 this morning, his first interview since being diagnosed.
What a great guy. Forget about the hockey stuff. Forget about what he did for the Blackhawks in 2013. It takes a lot of guts to come out with that, you know, and at least admit that you have this. Because it's a private thing. It's a private matter that you want to share with your family.
As soon as it was announced, I mean, this is what social media does, all over Facebook, all over Twitter. The outpouring of love. People are like, what can we do? How can we help? We're saying prayers for him.
So respected.
Fantastic. And when I filled in for Steve in the past, they used to do breakfast with Bickle. He was on the show all the time. I got to know him. I've seen him at conventions. He is just a class act. And Can you play with MS?
You know, I'm sure he's going to give it a shot. There's been one other player that I know of in the National Hockey League that did give it a shot. It was the goaltender for the Minnesota Wild, Josh Harding.
Okay.
Since retired. But again, I don't know if it's different and how different it was with Harding and what it is now with Bickle in the early stages.
Right.
And if it's easier.
And how much pain he's in.
And if it's easier to deal with as a goalie or what.
And coming up next, CPS students are cooking up change. We'll have Christy Cox in studio to tell us all about that. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. I have an 11-year-old son named Charlie. I know how hard it is keeping kids healthy, especially on a crazy schedule when both parents are working. I applaud cooking up change. Joining us from the Healthy Schools campaign is Christy Cox. And congratulations. Hold on a second. You're on mic three. Congratulations, by the way, on 10 years.
Thank you so much. We're super proud of the work that we've done over the last 10 years.
How did this all start 10 years ago?
That's a great question. You know, at Healthy Schools Campaign, we work really hard to advocate for school health. And so a lot of our work is around advocating for increased recess or physical activity and also better food at the schools. And so, you know, there's this thing called an obesity epidemic that's affecting 1 in 3 children in the United States. And so we decided to work towards making better food available at schools. And so part of that work is by enlisting students who have a genuine interest in food. So that work is done through the vocational high schools here in Chicago. There's 19 of them, and 11 of them will be competing tomorrow. They have culinary programs, and we challenge those students to create a healthy, tasty meal with limited ingredients, high nutritional standards, all for $1.25.
When did the light bulb go off and say, kids' lunches are just so high in fat? I mean, you want to keep the expenses down, and one of the things were lunches, right?
Right. You know, I think that there was a big shift over the last 10 years, 15 years. I don't know if you remember school food. I remember school food, although it's been a long time.
I used to walk home for lunch, but when I had to stay, I thought the food was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. Pigs in the blanket.
Oh, wow. You got pigs in the blanket.
Cheeseburgers.
White bread and a hot dog?
Right.
I always liked the pizza, though.
I love the tater tots.
Was always
like
great.
Cardboard, but it was good.
Yeah, tater tots are always high on my list.
Oh, tater tots, yes, for sure.
You can't go wrong with tater tots.
No. But the USDA started working hard to make some changes to the nutritional requirements. And what we found is that a lot of kids didn't like it because they weren't used to eating it. And so that's fair. But if you can get kids to be more excited about food and to expand their palate and try the food, chances are they're going to buy into that whole idea of healthier food. So we decided, can we get high school students create a meal that their peers would enjoy that meet all these nutritional requirements? And it's been really successful over the last 10 years. We've seen many recipes over the course of the last 10 years show back. They're consistently featured in the food rotations. I mean, I've seen things from like banh mi sandwiches to Jamaican jerk chicken. They get really creative with the limited, right? I mean,
yeah.
You want to eat that. And if you want to eat it, chances are the kids want to eat it too.
Well, I think times have changed. When I grew up, we were watching MTV, and it's interesting because my 11-year-old, all he does is watch the Food Network.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then he wants to cook.
Right.
That's the new thing with
it's
kids nowadays.
Thing.
Yes, it is. It's a great thing.
Yeah. It's exciting to see so many young kids generally excited about trying new foods and cooking. And I think, you know, that's really the key is can we get back? It's hard, you know, in Chicago, it's a large school district. So scratch cooking
right.
is really a challenge. But, you know, ultimately that would be our goal as an organization is to get every school to scratch cook all their foods. But we also know that there's a lot of constraints around that. And so by looking at what is available currently on the ingredient list and having kids help these people get a little bit more creative about what they serve kids is a win-win.
Christy Cox in studio with us from Healthy Schools Campaign. So this happens tomorrow, right?
Yes, yeah.
How many kids on a team?
There are about 5 to 6 kids on a team. This year we have 11 teams competing here in Chicago. And the winner will be awarded, all the kids on the team will be awarded scholarships to Washburn Culinary School. Is really exciting.
That's something to try for.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then we actually host a national competition every June. So this same competition will take place across the country between December and April. And then the winning team from Chicago, along with however many teams we end up having compete this year, which could be about 8 or 9, will come to the Department of Ed, where we'll have a national cooking contest and announce a national winner.
How do they come up with these food ideas?
Well, the really nice thing about Chicago is that we work really hard to find chef mentors to go into the schools and talk
great.
To the kids and inspire their ideas. So, you know, they have amazing instructors who all have culinary experience, but, you know, they've been teachers for a long time. So sometimes they lose sight or, you know, aren't really on trend with what kids want to eat. And so by having these mentors come in, talk to them about their experience, how they found their passion really inspires these kids. And then they start brainstorming about, okay, these are the ingredients. What can we make that would be really great that your peers will enjoy?
Right.
And the mentors are a huge part of the success to the menus that the kids come up with.
I mean, it's like you're discovering a new dish, like you're inventing something. I mean, it's fun for kids. They love it.
Yeah. I mean, and they're restricted. They don't have olive oil. They don't have fresh kale. They don't have
kale. Where's Dave Bennett?
Where is he? When we need him?
You don't need fresh kale.
You don't need fresh kale. But, you know, they work with some processed food items that can be tricky to make really tasty, and they do it. Every year they do it. It's amazing.
Have you noticed eating habits changing at all? I mean, you said 1 in 3 kids are obese. Has that gone down at all in the last 10 years since you've been doing this?
I mean, I think in the last couple years, especially with First Lady Michelle Obama making that part of her platform, I don't know that there's been decline. There has been some leveling off. And in some of the younger kids, specifically kids who are entering kindergarten, we're seeing some leveling off and hope to see some drop. A lot of it, you know, because we work on school health, we work with not just kids, but, you know, we also look to help parents. We have a program where we have teach them advocacy skills to help them advocate for more recess in their school, or, you know, hey, let's not have so many cupcakes at school this year.
Right.
So that's a real key. Looking to teachers to help them understand that they're really lead by example with their kids, that the kids look up to them. And so by maybe not drinking a Coke in front of the kids and switching to water, you know, we really just look at the whole school to be a good example for these young kids who might not have that same kind of example for them at home. And we just, you know, and it's amazing to see these kids go through this program and then end up
in a culinary.
Love it. Yeah, it's great.
That's very encouraging.
Yeah.
I get it. I work. My wife works. We only have one kid. And if you're on the run, where are you going to go? You're going to go through a drive-thru. You got to get the kids some food.
Yeah. I mean, in the last few years, I've had some adult onset food sensitivities, and so I've really had to switch out what we eat, and it's a pain, but my husband and I make an effort to cook every single night. We sit down and have dinner with our kids every single night. They're teenagers. I'm sure they hate every minute of it, but they appease us.
They'll come back around.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We all do.
They'll be thankful later.
Yeah.
Will they?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that? Maybe
will.
At 30 when they get remarried. If people want to get more information, where can they go on this?
So they can go to HealthySchoolsCampaign.org, and there is a link, there's a tab that says events, and then you can click that and find Cooking Up Change Chicago. You could also Google Cooking Up Change Chicago 2016. If people want to attend the event, tickets will be sold at the door. We've kind of shut down pre-registration, but people can sign up at the door. It's at the Bridgeport Art Center tomorrow night, starting at 6 p.m.
Do they get the sample food if they show up?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Well, that's great right there.
Yeah, so all the kids, they cook the meal during the day, and then that evening they'll showcase one component of their meal. So guests will get to try a sample size of their meal throughout the evening. And then we'll start announcing award winners between 7:30, 7:40. And then we have a party the rest of the night, really celebrating these 10 years of change that we've created in the CPS school system.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you got to educate kids young.
You do. You got to get them while they're young, for sure.
Christy Cox, Healthy Schools Campaign. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate the time.
It is 6:28 at 7:20 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
WGN, 6:39. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back tomorrow on the phone with us. I haven't talked to this woman in a very long time. It's Karen Conti. Karen, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
It's great to hear your voice again.
Yes, it's good to hear yours.
If people want to get in touch with you, can you give all your information?
Sure. You can call me, 312-332-7800, or better yet, email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Got it. Let's talk about Mayor Emanuel this week. Mentioned that Chicago is a sanctuary city. A lot of people didn't know what this means. Can you explain it?
Well, you know, it means different things in different cities, but what it really means is that the local governments, some of them are not willing to really enforce the immigration laws. And there has been some talk, you know, over the last 10, 15 years where the immigration officials come in and say, listen, if you guys, you police officers, arrest people for anything from drugs to even smaller crimes, we want you to check their illegal status. And if they're illegal, you need to hold them for us. Well, a lot of local jurisdictions don't want to spend the money doing that, and they don't want to be the enforcers for a federal law, and they don't do it. Do they do it to protect the immigrants? Probably. They also do it because of money reasons and because they don't have the resources to basically enforce the federal law. So the courts have actually upheld the local city saying, no, we won't do it, saying you can't make a city be the enforcers for a federal law. And so you have these cities like New York and Denver and Miami and Chicago who've kind of said, we're not going to do that. And so, you know, Mayor Emanuel, I guess, reiterated his idea that we're not going to be enforcing the immigration laws, at least at this juncture.
Well, Karen, what happens if the U.S. government says, hey, listen, if you don't follow our laws, we're not going to give you any money?
Well, you know, and that's what Trump is saying. And let's see what happens in that. It's going to be a politically very unpopular thing to do, because if you cut off funding to some of these large cities, that might be a problem. On the other hand, you know, it's illegal, according to the courts, for the federal government to even ask the cities to do some of this work. Now, clearly, listen, clearly if someone is a violent offender, you know, and even city of Chicago, if there's a violent offender here, a rapist or murderer or a serious drug dealer, they will hold for the feds, for sure.
Of course.
But when it comes to something like a moving violation or a routine domestic, you know, yelling and screaming, I mean, I've handled these cases where even the prosecutors say, we really don't want to charge this guy because we're going to have to send him back to Mexico and he's got father of five. So even the prosecutors don't like these laws. So I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he can legally do that. I don't know if there will be an uprising in the courts. I don't know if there will be an uprising among the police officers. But it's going to cause a lot of controversy because it's a very important issue.
Well, that's one of the arguments. If Chicago is a sanctuary city, is it going to be less safe?
Well, and that's really an interesting thing. First of all, if you look at the stats, clearly, immigrants, people who are illegal, commit far less crimes, far fewer crimes than people who are not, because they're usually on their best behavior because they don't want to go back to where they came from. So that's the issue. But if the ones that are, I think there's an argument that people in these communities don't want to be calling because they don't want to get involved. They don't want to call the police because they're illegal. They don't want to call on someone who might be illegal, who might get deported. There might be retaliation. So there is some evidence that, not that it's going to make it any safer by having a sanctuary city, but it causes a lot of problems in law enforcement if you can't get people in the community to call up the police because they're afraid of their immigration status. So, you know, you have it and you can look at the stats yourself. I encourage everyone to look at it and really read and understand, you know, what we're talking about here.
Attorney Karen Conti on the phone with us. I know we were all shocked yesterday when we saw that Fast Eddie was indicted. I know you were. I was.
Yes.
Ed Verdoliak was indicted yesterday. What are these charges? They're from when?
Well, you know, these are charges dating back from a while. I want to say about 2010, but you know, again, very complicated. Verdoliak is a very successful moneymaker. He always has been, but he always kind of seems to be involved in these things that are just slightly on the edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, years ago, I don't know if you guys remember this, but the states, 46 states, got together and they sued the tobacco company saying, hey, listen, our Medicaid paid out all this money to smokers. You guys were responsible, and now our state wants money back. Well, Verdoliak was somehow involved in this kind of in the back of the scenes, and the lawyers who were involved in this got a lot of money. They got, I want to say, $188 million in fees, which they earned because they went and they brought those lawsuits. But somehow Ed Verdoliak got a piece of that without disclosing it, and the feds say that he should have paid taxes on it. And, you know, he's 79 years old. That's not a good thing for somebody being indicted, because prison is not kind to people who are older. But, you know, this is, again, you know, this is federal tax laws where they get a lot of people. They got Al Capone. They get, when they can't get you on anything else, they get you on the tax fraud.
Well, explain to me, you said it was $188 million settlement. What was his take?
Well, we really don't know. And there's some indictments involving some of the other lawyers. And now we understand, according to the federal government, that Verdoliak was involved in it. So the lawyers were not reporting all their income, and maybe there was a payment to Ed Verdoliak as a referral fee of some type that wasn't disclosed. It's just hard to tell from the indictment exactly what went down. It's very complicated. But suffice to say that, you know, Verdoliak said to the government, no, I didn't take this money. And the government said, yes, you are. You're taking it behind doors. You're taking it through relatives, and you have to pay taxes on it. And you didn't.
See, I want to know how much money it was. Was it five? Was it 10, 15 million?
I think it's more along the lines of about $1 million. But again, and that doesn't sound like a lot of money in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, for all of us, it's a lot of money. But in the grand scheme of things, $188 million settlement, no.
But, you know, when the government has prosecuted someone before, and the last prosecution had to do with a kickback scheme, Verdoliak really didn't get much time. He got 10 months in jail, which was really not a lot considering what the charges were. I think the government has you on the radar. it would have been somebody else. Maybe they would have just taken a pass. But, you know, they got Ed Verdoliak. Here he is again in the middle of a scheme. You know, he had been involved in Cicero. They never got him for anything on that, but they were looking at him. And, you know, he's definitely on the list of people to watch. So.
Well,
here we go.
If you saw the news last night, the footage on the news, they showed him at the courthouse in the 70s. They showed him in the courthouse in the 80s. They showed him at the courthouse in the 90s. And they showed him at the courthouse recently. It's so funny. I mean, it's like the same thing. You could see him age over the decades, and he keeps getting indicted and arrested. But,
well, there was interesting that they don't really publish much, but when he was in law school, he was accused of attempted murder. He represented himself and got off.
What?
I mean, he is no novice to the system. And, you know, I've been practicing law for 30 years, and I have certain clients who, for some reason, just walk the edge all the time. You know, they're repeat clients for that reason. You know, most people, if they have a run-in with the law, you know, they never have a run-in again. They don't want anything to do with jail, lawyers, the courts, you know, the possibility of going away. But then you have other people who kind of enjoy, almost, being on the edge.
Well, it's a game to them. It is.
Yeah. And you know, again, I'm not saying anything about Ed Verdoliak. I don't know the man, but it just seems like he's always in the thick of things.
Right.
And if the government's watching you, you're going to have a target on your back.
God, you got to be careful. Karen, hold on. I want to ask you about Drew Peterson in a second, okay?
Sure.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran on the phone with us. Karen Conti, the attorney. You can go to kcontilaw.com. Wanted to ask you about Drew Peterson. The criminal case was argued yesterday in the Illinois Supreme Court. Now, did they need to take that case?
No. What's interesting, Pete, is that the Illinois Supreme Court takes cases only that it wants to take. So you have to actually ask the court, hey, do you want to take this case? They take fewer than 5%. So the fact that they took this case in and of itself is interesting, because it means that they find it very interesting. They find it that it's an important issue and that they're going to rule on it. And furthermore, once they take a criminal case, their chances of reversing, meaning changing the ruling, is over 50%. So Drew Peterson's lawyers are pretty happy about this because they are anticipating that there may be an overturning of his conviction based upon some of these issues.
So what happens if they overturn it? He's out of jail, right?
Well, there's a number of things the Supreme Court could do. You know, this is on the issue of the hearsay. This is on the issue of, remember, this is the murder of the third wife, Kathleen Savio.
Right.
And so what they did was they had the hearsay evidence of Stacy, the one who's missing, come into court because the judge ruled that Drew was responsible for her absence, and therefore he doesn't get the protection of the hearsay law. So all the testimony about Stacy saying things came into court, and normally it wouldn't come in. So that's the basis, the real crux of this appeal. If the judges say, you know what, the lower court shouldn't have done that, it's not fair to the criminal defendant, not because Drew's a great guy, but because the law shouldn't be doing that in any case.
Right.
In the future, it's a more precedent-setting kind of court. The judge could say, yes, new trial. Probably not. He wouldn't get out on bond, but there could be a new trial. Or the judge could say, a mistake was made, but you know, there was enough evidence to convict him anyway. We're going to keep him in jail, but we're going to change the law here.
Or
the judge could say, you apply the law perfectly fine. The law in Illinois is as is. Stay in jail and rot.
How could hearsay be admissible, Karen?
Well, there's a rule, and it's not just the Drew Peterson rule. This has been enforced in a long time. Basically, the idea of hearsay is it's not reliable, because if I say, you know, Pete told me this,
right.
Well, bring Pete in, right? But
mm-hmm.
Listen, if I killed you, right, if I killed you because I didn't want you to testify in the trial, then I don't get the benefit. I sacrificed and forfeited my right to have the law applied fairly because I killed you. If I killed you and now you can't come in, now I can have someone else come in and say, Pete told me this, even though he's deceased and even though that's technically hearsay. So basically it punishes a person who is killing or silencing witnesses, which makes sense. You know,
mm-hmm.
You don't get the benefit of the law if you've done something really bad. And this law has been enforced for a long time. It seems unfair in some ways, especially in a case where you have not so much evidence as in this case. You know, I mean, it was deemed to be an accident right from the beginning. But again, the court doesn't take it just to reverse it for Drew because it feels sorry for Drew. The court is going to take a look at this for purposes of the future. And do we want our laws to be this way?
And
what about his other charges, though, against, you know, the hiring and solicitation of murder against James Glasgow?
And again, that's done, although that has its appeals ready to go. But, I mean, he's in jail forever, basically, on this charge.
He's appealing
that, too.
He's working the system. He knows what he's doing.
Well, he does. And I don't think anyone in this whole world thinks that Drew Peterson will ever get out of jail. I don't think that's going to be the case. But the Supreme Court is kind of a lofty court. You know, they're not looking at justice for him or for the victims. They're looking at the law and how to apply it in the future. There's going to be all kinds of things. If they reverse it, there will be all kinds of protections. And he'll either be tried again or maybe the court, like I said, will say, no harm, no foul. You know, you didn't apply it correctly, but I think you should have been convicted anyway, which is kind of what I'm thinking they might do.
Karen, let me ask you, I ran into a friend this week. She's going through a very bitter divorce. She has a 17-year-old son, and she had to take him to the emergency room at Northwestern on Monday. He had a high fever for the last 3 days, took him to the emergency room. She did not have her insurance card. Called her separated husband, said, hey, I need the insurance card, and he said, I'm not giving it to you.
Ugh, don't you hate these stories, really?
I couldn't believe it. 17-year-old son had a fever for 3 days. They went to the emergency room. The husband would not, because he was mad at her, would not give her the insurance card. So,
okay, lesson to everyone out there, right? You keep, if you know, you're in a bad divorce, you're in a post-decree bad situation, always keep your kids in mind. Forget about your ex. It's all about the kids. Really?
Right.
This is it's a bad thing. I mean, I see this all the time. It's like someone has insurance, they're paying for it, or their employer's paying for it, and they won't share the insurance card with their spouse. Why? I don't get it either. It's just retaliation and mean-spiritedness, and you know, and unfortunately in the courts, there's just no good punishment. It's like, what are you going to do? Spend $3,000 on your lawyer to go to court and have the judge say, hey, sir, that was really a stupid thing to do. That's exactly
what her attorney said. They got to go to mediation. If that doesn't work, then they have to go to court to get the insurance card.
there should be a better system. But, you know, when you have people with bad intentions and bitterness and retaliatory kind of motivations,
yep,
it's really hard to co-parent with somebody. It really, really is. And, you know, I encourage everybody to try to resolve these things amicably, but there are certain people in life who just aren't going to be able to do it.
KContiLaw.com, Karen Conti. Karen, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great week, guys.
All right. Karen Conti. Do we do the Hawks Express right now? Let's go into it.
The Hawks will pack up everything and head to Calgary tonight with a 4-0 loss to start the circus trip.
That's it?
Yeah. Whenever they lose, we don't like to dwell on it too much.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Right. No sense in that, right?
Yeah.
That was a quick one, okay.
Well, I go through each goal, right? Even though there were four.
Hawks Express is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. It's 6:58 at 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
7:10, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve back tomorrow. We have Brian Bickle joining us, his first interview since being diagnosed with MS. He'll join us at 7:40 this morning. You get a new president, people start freaking out about money. Let's bring in Jordan Goodman, our finance guy. Jordan, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
Great to be with you, Pete.
Jordan, new president, people freak out. The market is a little volatile. What's going on?
Lots of dramatic things. So let's talk about the changes. Because President-elect Trump has a Republican Congress, I think a lot of what he talks about is actually going to happen. You might like it, you might not like it, but let's just talk about the reality of what may happen here. First of all, on taxes. So he's talking about corporate and individual tax rates coming down dramatically. On the corporate side, coming from 35% down to 15%. Not only on big businesses, but particularly small businesses, and a lot of people in your audience would be having small business running through subchapter S corporations, all their income would be taxed at 15% instead of. So the idea is people will be able to keep a lot more of the profits, hopefully reinvest, expand, hire. You know, when you get money in people's hands, they can spend it or invest it. So that's on the corporate side. And a lot of this money from overseas, there's over $2 trillion overseas, would come back to the U.S., which has now been kind of parked there because the tax rate's so high. So that's on the corporate side. On the individual side, we're talking about 7 tax rates collapsing to 3. The top tax rate maybe being 33%. We'll have to see, but it's a subject to negotiation. But again, tax cut. The wealthier you are, the more you're going to get to keep. So that, I mean, a lot of the money in this tax cut is going to go to wealthier people who can only save it or spend it. So those are both good things. So that's going to be, give a big stimulus to the economy to have taxes down that dramatically.
It really work, cutting taxes? Has it worked traditionally?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. So I'll go all the way back. In Kennedy, 1962, cut taxes stimulated the economy. Reagan did in the early 80s.
Trickle down. Yep.
You know, the economy boomed in the 80s. Clinton, in 1997, cut capital gains taxes. That fueled the boom of the internet at the time. George W. Bush cut taxes in 2003, and the economy took off through 2006, 2007. So, yes, when you cut taxes, you put money in people's pockets and businesses' pockets, and they either spend it or invest it. These are good things. So, yes, I think it will definitely – and you're already seeing that. One of the reasons the stock market has gone up so dramatically in the last week since the election is the feeling that profits are going to be higher, there's going to be more sales, more investment, more activity. John Maynard Keynes used to call this animal spirits, and that's what's kind of been revived here, is people wanting to go out and take risk and spend and invest. It's going to help the Christmas season already, so yeah, I think that's going to work.
All right, let's talk interest rates. Where do they
stand? Dramatic change there, dramatic from what it was pre. Interest rates had been low and staying low for a long time. The Federal Reserve lowered rates to zero in December 2008, and we've had basically 8 years of 0% interest rates. That has reversed dramatically in the last week. So you've had the long-term treasury, which had been about 1.5%, the 10-year treasury. That's now up to about 2.2%, a lot of it just in the last week or so. And I think it's going to go much higher. Because you have more economic activity, that means more demand for money, and the price of money, which is interest rates, go up. So there's good and bad things about that. It means you might earn a little bit more in your CDs, not too much more. But if you own bonds and things like bonds, like utilities, real estate investment trusts, mm-hmm. master limited partnerships, they're kind of what I call bond surrogates, those are all getting hurt because as interest rates rise, the value of those is falling a lot more than the interest you're earning from them. So that's where I'm concerned about the audience a little bit, is if they've got money in bonds and bond funds and things like that, they're going to lose a lot as interest rates rise. Now, I'll give you a solution that's a way of getting a higher yield without having that kind of volatility. Something I do, which is called commercial real estate income funds. And there's a website, commercialrealestateincomefunds.com. You get 8% with no market volatility. Okay, it doesn't go up, doesn't go down.
Okay.
Minimum hold time's 18 months, but they have about 30 or 40 different loans out all the time, very conservatively done to commercial real estate projects that they're using to renovate or improve apartment buildings, shopping centers, and for commercial projects of various types. So there's a way of getting 8%. And after 18 months, you can get your money back. But if, as interest rates rise, as I think they're going to continue to, you won't get hurt as you're going to get hurt on the utilities and bonds. So, again, if that helps anybody, commercialrealestateincomefunds.com. They've got a phone number, too, 888-444-2102. So that, to me, is a solution in a rising interest rate environment.
MoneyAnswers.com is your website. We're talking with Jordan Goodman. Let's talk mortgages. Is it
sure.
a good time to refi right now?
It was better a month ago.
Well, it always is.
The window is closing.
It always is, it seems like.
Well, rates hit all-time lows, maybe about September, something like that, where the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage got down to about 3.5%. That's now about 4.25%. It's gone up a lot as other interest rates have gone up. The 15-year had gotten down to about 2%. That's now up to about 3.25%, something like that. So historically, these are still low rates, 3 and 4%. But they're certainly not as good as they were a month or so ago. So I think they're going to go higher. As I just mentioned, interest rates are going to go higher.
When do you think that's going to happen?
It's already happening. I mean, we've already, since the election, the last week, we've had a dramatic, probably one of the biggest increases in mortgage rates we've ever seen in our lifetime. So if your current mortgage is, I would say, 4.75%, 5% or higher, it makes sense to take a look at refinancing. A website that can help you there is YouCanRefi, YouCanRefi.com. They look around the country to get you the best possible deals. But, I mean, if you're in the 4% range, it doesn't make sense to refinance anymore. Now, if you're buying a new home, there's been a huge rush in the last week, Pete, a huge rush in the last week to try to lock in these rates before they go higher. And I think that's going to happen. You could get 5% mortgage rates not that long down the road, which makes it more difficult and more expensive for people to buy homes.
I always feel like I'm doing everything wrong money-wise. But,
why? What did you do that was wrong?
I don't know, man.
Everything.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar.
He's the money man, Jordan Goodman. You can check out his website, moneyanswers.com. Something that everyone listening, I'd say 98, 99% of us have credit card debt, Jordan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's up to about $1 trillion in a total amount of credit card debt right now. So as other interest rates are going up, so will credit card interest rates. They're already high. I mean, the average about 13%. That's going to go up as well. You know what's going to happen? The Fed Reserve is going to raise rates in December. And so everything that you pay is going to go up, but what you earn is not going to go up. So credit cards, what we talked about, mortgages, all these things are going to go up, but you're still going to earn pretty much zero on CDs, money market funds, and savings accounts. That's the way the banking system works, I guess. So on credit cards, two things you can do. First of all, get better credit cards. You do not have to put up with 13 or 15% or 25% of ridiculous rates. A free place to find the best deals is guidetocreditcard.com. And they get all the best deals. Get the one where you're going to use the most frequent flyer points or rewards one way or the other, and concentrate your spending on that to get yourself the best deal. So it might be frequent flyer miles, it could be Disney points, it could be GM car, whatever it may be. Concentrate your spending. So guidetocreditcard.com, you can find the best deals there. And then if you're in the situation you just mentioned, Pete, a lot of people have high interest credit cards,
right,
and they just can't get out from under it. Go to a nonprofit credit counseling place because they can consolidate all those different debts into one at a lower interest rate, typically like 6-7%. You make one payment to them, they pay the creditors, and over whatever, 2, 3, 4 years, you can get out of debt as opposed to have this hang over you for the rest of your life, which is happening to a lot of people. My favorite place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. Their website, cambridgecredit.org, they're a nonprofit. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They've helped a lot of GM listeners in the past. So those are two ways to help you with what I think you're going to see are rising credit card rates.
Well, you bring up credit cards, and I just get a sick feeling in my stomach because it's so hard to pay off those credit cards.
It
if
is.
You have a $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 credit limit on there, you're going to use it all up, man. And how do you pay that off?
The minimum, which a lot of people, about 40% of the people just pay the minimum when they get the bill.
How long does that take?
About 36 years.
36 years to pay off eight grand on your credit card.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, so you got to pay more than the minimum. But when you do something like this, CambridgeCredit.org, they will actually help you pay much more than the minimum, and you're actually making progress towards the principal just paying instead of paying interest for the rest of your life.
Got it. All right. Sandberg, you got a question?
As far as the Cambridge Credit, do they help if you already are in collections with the credit card
yes.
company?
Yes. Yes. They'll take away all the late fees and late charges, and absolutely. There are two kind of people that Cambridge helps, what I call the treading water crowd, who are not making progress, but they're not behind. And then there's the sinking crowd. So Pete's in the treading water category.
I feel like
Mary,
I'm in both categories.
The sinking crowd,
yeah. Well, I know, because every time we get a new credit card deal where it's like interest free for 15 months or you get 1% back. So I'm like, put it all on the card. But then you have to be really disciplined when you get the statement.
You pay that card 1 microsecond late and it's not 0%. It's 25% plus a late fee. Okay, that's what they're trying to do is to get you to trip up.
Yeah. But then
and they've got techniques to help you make sure you pay late. So, for example, they'll send you the bill from Guam or something and you have to mail it back to Guam. So by the time it gets to you and by the time it sends it back, it's late because our bank wasn't open in Guam today or something like that. I mean, they do that. They'll always have the address as far away from you as possible so that the mail delay alone, this is a little tricks that the banks pay.
This is an absolute true story. I never had a credit card in my life until I got married because we had $10,000 that we needed to pay for on the wedding. So
yes.
I paid for it on a credit card. And I spent years paying it off, and I said, I will never get another credit card. I finally
that was expensive flowers, right?
Oh, my God. I finally got one a year ago, and I look at the balance all the time because I'm so freaked out that I want to keep it at zero.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing. Yeah, about 40% of people paid off in full. 60% are revolving the balance every month. Yeah, and it's non-deductible interest as well, so it's very, very expensive.
Yes. I'm that guy when you go on a Vegas trip, the guy that doesn't have a credit card. I'm that guy. Can you put on your credit card? I'll give you
money. They don't like people like you. They want to, you know, you go into a casino, and you can do a cash advance, right?
I've seen guys do that.
18% right there. I hope you win, because otherwise it's going to get expensive.
They will absolutely do that. One of the greatest things ever invented is, I'm a Chase customer, Chase Quick Pay, because you can just pay people in cash. You owe somebody money, I'm going to send you cash right now. Give me your email.
That's a quick way. Another thing is something called Venmo, V-E-N-M-O, which is free to send money.
That's a new
anywhere.
App, isn't it? My brother sent me that.
It's a great thing. My son is 26. He's a Venmo. Anybody under 30 is a Venmo person. That's the way they do it.
My sister and I use that and send each other money for
right. Isn't
my
Venmo
parents
great?
Have, except for the weird thing is other people can like our transaction. I'm like, why do they care if I sent my sister $100? But six people have liked it.
Well, you get to see it. When you go on to Venmo, it says, you know, this person paid this person how much. You don't know who they are, but it's kind of fun to see.
Well, think about it. I have so many siblings. We buy my mom one gift, and you always have to send, like, I have to send my sister Mary money. Okay.
And the sound effect is a cha-ching.
That's
it
right.
It does do a cha-ching.
Well, you want people to sign up for things like that so you can send them cash and not put it on your credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And how about health insurance, Jordan?
Huge changes. Huge change. Now, President-elect Trump is talking about repealing and replacing. I think they clearly are going to repeal it because he's got a Republican Congress now. What they're going to replace it with is not totally clear. Okay. He's talking about keeping where you can't get somebody off because of pre-existing conditions, and keeping where people up to age 27 basically can stay in their parents' plan, which are good things, but they're expensive to the insurance companies. So here's my guess of what's going to happen. I think they're going to dismantle a lot of the Obamacare system now, the mandate, all those kind of things. And
check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. A new report by the U.S. Lower
the
Association.
Lower the premiums and then have risk pools. Okay. They're going to have risk pools where people who can't get insurance or got a lot of medical conditions go in the risk pools, and the subsidies, which have been going towards Obamacare, which is about $60 billion a year, are going to go to the risk pools at each state level, and then other people's premiums, most people's premiums, will come down a lot. You're paying a lot right now to cover the sick, healthy, unhealthy people,
right?
And that's not necessary. So the whole system is going to be restructured. It's going to cause a lot of chaos, but hopefully it'll come out better because people are very unhappy right now. November 1st, right before the election, is when all these huge premium increases came up.
Oh, my God.
And that, I think, had a real role to play in the election. The average was 25%. Arizona was 116%. So that's like people don't think that's going to work too well. So we'll see. There's a website that can help people, by the way, on health insurance, which is medicalrepricing.com. My general idea is take as low a premium and as high a deductible as you can stand. I just renewed mine, and my deductible went from $5,000 to $7,000. So I paid 25% more for getting $2,000 less in coverage. Isn't that a wonderful deal?
I love that you give the website out. Can you give the credit card website again?
Sure. So the credit card, to get the best credit card, guide2credit card.com.
Okay.
And the nonprofit credit counseling is cambridgecredit.org. Their phone number again, 800-897-2200. And earlier I'd mentioned the way to get the 8% interest rate instead of having losses on bonds. That's commercialrealestateincomefunds.com. And all these things are at my website, moneyanswers.com. Jordan, I'm glad to take emails from GM listeners, as always.
I love it. Jordan Goodman, thanks for joining us, man.
All right. Thanks so much, Pete. Thank you, Mary.
The big story is coming up next at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, man, Bickle put Sammy Vatanen right down to the ice on his back with a massive hit. Bickle looking for two for his money. He got it. A thunderous body check in the near corner on Vatanen. Oh, and then Bickle steps into Bufflin from behind and knocks him down, and Bufflin takes exception to it. Sharp over the wild line left wing to Bickle, coming by Moose and shoots and scores! Brian Bickle!
Bickle to Shaw left corner to Keith. To the line, Rundblad tees it up, fire save, made rebound, score! Brian Bickle!
.720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, 740. I think we were all stunned to hear the news over the weekend that number 29, former Chicago Blackhawk and current Carolina Panther Brian Bickle announced he had MS, the massive outpouring of support and love on social media. I thought, hey, we need to check in with this guy and see how he's doing. And on the phone with us is Brian himself. Brian, first of all, how are you feeling?
Feeling all right. You know, I'm just taking it day by day right now. And it's a new, experience. I didn't know much about it. And like I said, we're just taking it day by day. And hopefully we can get better to, get back on ice again.
I mean, the main question is, how did you find out? How did you find out?
There's something going wrong. I mean, like, everybody knows their own body, and I've been playing hockey my whole life, and I just had some side effects on the ice where, half my one arm, my one leg was off, and it wasn't working like it's been working for the last 20 years, and I'm like, I need to. Something's not right, and got an MRI, and then we saw some information and some things up top that, diagnosed to MS. So, with my family and what we're going through right now, just to hopefully get better, to ultimately to get back on the ice, but for my health is the most important thing.
The Carolina Hurricanes released a statement over the weekend, and the outpouring of love and support on Facebook amazed me. I mean, it's you that people are sending their love and their prayers and their support to. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, it's definitely special. It's it's not the greatest news when you find out that you have MS, and it hits the media, then you see the support I have kind of around the world where. A lot of people in Europe and, with the Blackhawks and with the Hurricanes, and especially with the family and friends, seeing, Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff, what I've, based my career around is playing hockey and doing the right things off of hockey. And I think, showed the recognition of all the people that, appreciate it, and they just wanted to send best wishes and thoughts my way.
Tell me about that moment when you heard. I have a doctor years ago that said to me, listen to your body. So you're feeling some pain, your body's not right, you go to the doctor. Tell me about that moment when he told you that you have MS.
It wasn't so much pain, it was just something wasn't right. Like it was a different feeling where it was kind of like an outer body experience where my leg, my arm was not on my body, but it was still functioning. And my signals, going from my brain to my arm and leg weren't, reading what I wanted to read. first time. I didn't know much about it. I just thought MS is, you know, a disease. And I know going through treatment last week and seeing the people, the average people that, you know, come in once a month, once every 6 months. And, you know, they've been living through it for, I know I met a guy who's been doing it for 50 years and he shot a 78 a couple of weeks ago. So he's, you know, life moves on after this. And, you know, my goal is hopefully, you know, to get back on the ice and contribute and help my team and, you know, do my job. And if I can do that, and that'll be the best goal. But overall, just to have a, you know, happy and still a full life.
Brian, I'm curious. Have you spoken to Josh Harding, the former goaltender for the Wild?
I have. I have. I touched base with him. I got his number, and he just told me some, you know, experiences, what he went through, you know, situations and different symptoms and different things when, you know, the hockey was activated. But it was nice to reach out to him to get a base off of it.
We're talking with former Chicago Blackhawk and current Carolina Hurricane Brian Bickle on the phone with us. So much outpouring. People are sending in text messages right now. We're rooting for you, Brian. I mean, people want, when they hear about this, they want to do something. What would you want them to do?
You know, what they've done already, the support and love, it shows, you know, to me that there's you know, there's hope, and you know, this is not, you know, near end of finishing my career. I gotta, you know, fight and hopefully, you know, get the best treatment to get me back on the ice. And these fans and support I've had around, it drives me, and that, you know, it's a special what I've done in Chicago with the sport, with the fans, and I know I've been I'm touched by them for sure.
You got a lot of love here in Chicago, buddy.
Yeah.
And everybody has a Bickle story. I mean, I've filled in for Cochran many times in the past. I've talked to you many times. I've been to a Blackhawks convention with my son, Charlie. You were nice enough to take pictures and talk to him. Everybody has a Bickle story. There's got to be somebody in this town that wants to punch you. I mean, people are texting in pictures of you from the convention,
yeah.
Our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's great stuff, man. It really
it is. It's, you know, I always had a philosophy. I came from a small town of, you know, 800 people. And, you know, it starts with one fan. You want to make one fan's, you know, day or month or year that leave that last experience, you know, meeting them, because they're sometimes they're lost of words and they don't know what to say. And to have that first impression for the fans and to be that part of, you know, hockey player off the ice that was my goal, and it's still from this day that, you know, even if I'm not playing hockey, I'll still proceed it as that way.
And what's the next step? Are you taking medication right now? Are you doing therapy? What happens?
Yeah, I'm just hopefully, you know, stabilizing my systems and my symptoms and by doing some, I don't know, you could say drugs or whatever that they've been putting in me to hopefully get everything stabilized, that I'm okay to, you know, get back on the ice. But, you know, it's a little early to tell. We're just, you know, taking day by day, and hopefully the symptoms will, you know, flare down and I can get back on the ice and exercise and do what I need to do.
That's all you can do, man. We're all praying for you here in Chicago, Bri.
Thanks.
All right, man. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon.
Very much. Thank you very much, guys.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Our phone number, also our text line, 312-981-7200. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Some great text messages about Brian Bickle. 630 sending in a picture. Brian's a class act. Tell Bickle, exercise the key. I've had MS for 13 years. Still walking, talking, and taking care of myself. So thank you for those. That's good stuff right there. Yes, Sandberg.
So yesterday, you and I were talking all day long because we were prepping for the show today. And last night, you hadn't gotten to some of the prep because you were doing homework with your son.
Oh, God.
And I have a question.
Social studies test today.
Awful. How would you do on the test?
How would I do on the test? I think I know the social classes in, what is it? Shoot, I can't even remember it now.
Feudal times?
It's the Egyptian times.
Oh, okay.
Peasants. What is it? You start with the pharaoh. You got the government. Jeez, it's sixth grade, guys.
Yeah, the homework is difficult, but I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Where in the house were you guys doing this homework?
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
Right.
So, you know,
on the island in the kitchen.
I have two stepkids.
Uh-huh.
Catherine's 12 and a half. Patrick is 9 and a half. Their grandma bought them very nice desks from Pottery Barn Kids.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they are in their rooms.
Yes.
And we only do homework at the dining room table and the kitchen table.
Right.
And so I have a question to people. Is anyone ever using their desks? Because Pat...
Never.
Pat does not use the desk in our office.
Mm-mm.
My husband, for work, he does it in the living room on his lap.
Right.
So
Charlie McMurray has a desk in his room. I used to have a big desk in the basement. I never used it. We got rid of it. I have a laptop.
Yeah,
I sit on the couch. Yep.
Kids don't really use their desks.
I like
never.
Rules.
It's very bad for posture, too, as well, because they sit on the couch with their laptop on their lap. My son can do like 20 different things at once on his laptop.
Oh, yeah, you got the phone going,
TV,
you got the laptop
got the phone,
going,
texting,
you got the TV.
I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'm studying for, and he's in college. He's studying. And I go, really? He came home for the weekend. I couldn't believe it, how he could function. But yeah, they don't use desks anymore, really.
Nobody.
I'm a rule follower, so I actually use the desk in the office. But it's like, and everyone says, what are you doing in here? I'm doing work at the desk in the office.
Cochran
but,
doesn't even have a desk upstairs, does he? He doesn't even have a couch. I go,
his
how come you guys don't
so
have a couch?
Full of junk that he couldn't find it if he tried. He has a chair.
He has a red chair, like an office
we
chair.
We should get
that
him one of those
in.
Fitness balls and make him sit on that.
Oh, good, good for the core. There's our Christmas present
he would
idea.
Love
it. Let's
that.
Do it. He's not yeah. listening.
Oh,
I
God.
Like that.
He doesn't listen
That'd
to
the
show,
hilarious.
Does he?
Well, I don't like the homework done in the kitchen and the dining room because it means we're all involved in the homework.
Well, yeah, you have to be
yeah,
involved. That's the whole deal.
Shut the door.
I used to do homework by myself.
I don't know about anybody else, but Charlie McMurray, who's in sixth grade, his first quarter ends Friday. So he's got tests all this week. So he's got a test today. He's got two tomorrow and one on Friday.
It's like a college student.
And his mother, who is also a working mother in Chicago, has client dinners this week. So who's helping with the homework?
Yeah.
You're looking at him right here.
I see yeah. I see
guy.
You out a lot.
Surf.
So I'm pretty sure that she...
What do you mean you
she
see
picks,
me out a lot?
You're always posting on social media. I'm
well,
sure she picks up the slack 99%
fun.
Of the time.
I mean,
I've
got to stretch my
social,
legs
social
with my
on
people.
Social media.
Oh, by the way, my son Christopher is 25, just text me. I use the desk. He was my good son. Yes, he did use a desk. Sorry, Chris.
And Mary, what did you want to plug about U of I?
Oh, yes. It's Chicago Area Illini Days. And I am, of course, quit rolling your eyes.
Well, I looked at Andy because Andy and I are both Bradley graduates.
Yeah.
They're rolling
another
their
school
eyes.
Off of 74.
Yeah. I know. My cohort in crime, Andrea, is not here today. But anyway, so the Illini are in town, Alumni Days. And they had a function last night in Oak Brook. And they had a function tonight as well, I believe, downtown. And the Marching Illini, ILL, INI, someone. Anyway, our... no one's giving me any support. They are marching around today. They will be at Madison and Dearborn at noon and at 1:45 at Millennium Park. So any Illini alums, go see your marching Illini.
I'm waiting for Jacobson to do a Go Cats.
Well, I know. This is not the time for that.
No, we can't have.
No time.
Somebody needs to stick up for Dave here.
Marching
Illini
in time. In town.
And we have time. Oh, there it is. All right. Quick break. Come back. Top of the hour news. And Dean right after 8 o'clock at 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me good.
This hour of the Steve Cochran Show is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. It's 8:10. Pete McMurray in for Steve. He's back tomorrow. It's great to talk to this man from WGN-TV.
Pete.
Dean.
You've been on vacation for a very long time.
A year and a half.
That's
I've been in a coma.
Long vacation. I got to get a deal like you.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine and dandy. Loving waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning every day. Life doesn't get any better than this.
I have to tell you, when I did my show at the other radio station, I would go work out afterwards, and I would listen to Cochran's podcast, and I would always listen to you two. And I wanted to find out where the French accent came from. How did that start? I'm like, where did that come from?
It was because
And you two have turned into the uncles that you want to sit next to at Thanksgiving dinner.
We are the crazy uncles.
Yes.
That you never know exactly what's going to come out of our mouths. The French accents came out of the Kim Kardashian robbery story that happened in Paris.
Gotcha.
And we were, I believe it started when we were mocking the French police.
Yes, that is right.
Yes, you were talking about them on bicycles.
Yes.
And the getaway and everything.
Bicycles.
Bicyclettes.
We are hiding.
It's more of a Peter Sellers.
It's very, very, it is. Completely Inspector Clouseau.
Mine
was based on that. Steve is an aficionado of Rich Little, and therefore a man of many tongues, and I mean that in every way possible.
Yes. Harrison Ford, how old is he?
Now I think he's 147.
And still smoking pot. God bless him.
I don't know that to be the truth.
Allegedly.
I don't know that to be the truth.
Uh-huh.
He is, I will say that when the Star Wars movie, the first movie was made, he was 33, significantly older than the other stars, and especially significantly older than Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, who was 19 at the time.
Okay.
Carrie Fisher has a new book out called The Princess Diarist, in which she reveals for the first time ever that she and Harrison Ford had a steamy 3-month affair while they were making that first film.
Really? Was he married at the time?
He was married with 2 children.
Oh.
Yeah.
How many years ago was that?
70s? 1976.
Okay.
Maybe 40 years ago. I don't think he's, well, I don't think his current
Callista Flockhart wasn't even born then.
But,
right.
Yeah, but he was, he was a married father of 2 at the time. She says in the book that during the week it was Han and Leia, and...
What?
Did they dress up when they got together?
Oh, I like to think that those honey bun hairdo was somehow involved in this. Yeah,
absolutely it was.
Yeah. And if it, well,
this,
I won't.
This
go that
segment
far.
Always goes south. I'm not, every day.
Quickly,
I was going to say something about her name, but I don't think I should. I don't think that's appropriate.
So this happened years ago.
They were making the film. The movie came out in 76. So the spirit of 76, apparently the force was with them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it happened in the year prior to that. She said that she just happened to be going through some old journals that she had kept and was reminded about it. Who would forget
I was going to say Come she on. Forgot this.
You got to look through old journals to remember that you had a steamy affair with Han Solo?
She may have slept with a lot of men.
I think who she worked with?
Let me look this up. Who did I have sex with in 1976?
I think the
here.
Buns were too tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jabba the Hutt had her on a short leash.
So she said she was reminded of that, and then while she was writing the book, she decided to include it in there. People magazine says that Harrison Ford knew that this was going to be in the book, but he has had no comment about any of this tawdriness.
Has the new Star Wars with them back in the movie, has that been released on DVD? I saw it at the theaters. Okay.
Yeah, it's out. It's on... it's on demand. It's everywhere right now.
She got beat up because of her weight in that film, didn't she?
She was, you know what? I like to, you know, to have any of us look at a picture of us 40 years ago and say we look better now. How many of us can do that from 40 years ago? You look way better than you did 40 years ago. Come on, give her a break.
I posted a picture on Twitter this morning to myself. It looks like I've been on a 5-day bender.
Well,
it's terrible.
I got to say, I've seen a lot of pictures of you, Pete, and most of them look like you've been on a 5-day bender, honestly.
Thanks for that.
I'm just saying.
Is her book out now or is it coming out?
I believe it is. I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay.
Let me run to Barnes & Noble real quick.
Did she have an affair with Billy Crystal when Harry met Sally?
No word on other affairs.
Okay.
No word on
that
other
affairs.
She better check her journal. She might have. She doesn't know.
No word on other affairs.
We're going to talk about the highest paid celebrities under 30 after Mary does traffic. And I do need to say that this is all brought to you by the Grossinger Auto Group.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 97.
Love it.
821, Dean Richards.
You know what I was just looking at?
What?
I was. We've started talking about when the repeat of the Bozo Gar and Ray WGN TV Classics special is going to be on for the holiday season.
Oh yeah,
that was the first time I think that I ever met you.
Really?
Was when this show first premiered in 2005. You were nice enough
nope.
to
No, I remember when we met.
On your show.
You just jogged my memory. It was before that. It was 2003, Game 7 of the NLCS.
Really?
Yes. I was kind enough, I was lucky enough to be asked to be in the Harry Carey skybox, and that's when I met you.
Oh.
I think I may have hugged you that night.
We may have embraced.
Right, and then we got mad at each other and got in a fist fight when the Cubs lost.
A couple of Budweisers later.
you did come on my show. And
I did come on your show. We had the best time talking about Bozo Gar and Ray, WGN TV Classics, that Steve will give me nonstop grief about between now and...
Wait, he doesn't like Bozo?
Cookie? He's warming up to my obsession with this.
Wizzo?
Doody, doody, doody. Who doesn't love these beloved characters?
Bozo Buckets?
Who doesn't love all this, the grand prize game?
Right. Go over to the Bozo Drum.
This two-hour special that we put together... is on every year. People, I got notices yesterday. I put it up on Facebook yesterday, and people started telling me this is part of their holiday tradition now on Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve.
That's awesome.
Watching the special while they put up their tree or, you know, with family or so forth. So the show this year is going to be on Thanksgiving morning right after the McDonald's holiday parade at 11 a.m. Central Time on WGN TV, and then Christmas Eve at 10 p.m. So 11 a.m. Thanksgiving, 10 p.m. Christmas Eve, and we'll also be streaming on WGNTV.com if you have friends or family around the country, so you can watch it then.
I grew up in Peoria. I sent postcards in. I wanted to be on the Bozo show.
I'm pretty sure those postcards are still in the drum.
It is. I looked for it when I stopped by the museum. But
yeah, that's where the drum is now and all the costumes and all that. If you look in there, you'll see Pete's peanut butter stained card.
Well, I figured out years ago when I went to WGN for one of the first times, I said, show me the Bozo studio, because there was a huge waiting list, right? You couldn't get in there. You couldn't get a ticket for the Bozo show.
10-year waiting list.
Well, the reason is it seated about 22 people.
Oh, well, a few more than that. It was small, but... I think it's seated at like 200 people.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
I thought maybe 50 at the most.
Oh, no. No, there is a full wall of grandstands that went up, I think, like, you know, 7 or 8 deep. There were...
I'm still bitter.
I just love the arrow that went around.
The magic arrows?
The magic arrows.
The magic arrows?
Yeah. It's like, it landed on the same person all the time.
You had to know somebody.
Had to be the right seat,
That was rigged.
The cameraman.
Hey, I can
always
get your kid in for a price.
I'm the magic arrow man.
The cameraman always enjoyed stopping it on a mom, you know, like a mom wearing a low cut sweater.
Oh, no. And then they're like, not me.
That was the big inside joke on that. They're watching the cameraman do that. And on Ray Rayner's show, you remember Chelveston the Duck, his sidekick. It was delivered here from now gone but famous pet store, Animal Kingdom, and they would literally deliver Chelveston in a taxi cab to WGN every morning.
Think about that. Ray Rayner's sidekick was a duck.
Was a duck.
How would that fly today?
Who got a ride to work in a taxi more than, and none of the humans got that treatment, but they would deliver it, and the cameraman would tell me that some of the old timers would tell me that when the duck arrived in a cage, they would shake the duck to, you know, shake the cage to get the duck mad. So when they released it, it would attack Ray Rayner.
Oh, no. Really?
And attack it would.
You see the clip on Bozo Gar and Ray, WGN TV Classics, Thanksgiving morning at 11 and Christmas Eve at 10 p.m. If you watch the clip of that, see Chelveston.
Well done.
You will see Chelveston attacking Ray Rayner on the show. God knows why. I'm not proud of the cameraman for doing this. I'm sure animal rights activists are planning a big protest right now. But, you know, back in the day, that's what they did. I'm just saying.
Highest paid celebrities under 30. The list is out. Let me guess. Jennifer Lawrence.
She is not on the list.
What?
Not in the top five, anyway.
The youngest Kardashian.
Nah, I do not see a Kardashian.
Taylor Swift.
In the top five. Taylor Swift is number one.
She's under 30?
Ding, 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 ding.
She is. So many,
I feel like so she's been around forever.
Been surprised that she's under 30 years old.
Because she's had 40 boyfriends.
Isn't she under, like, isn't she about 22 or something?
No.
She's about 24.
What? 24?
Yeah, she's fairly young.
Justin Bieber on the list.
He would be number six on the list.
Pat Tomasulo.
Is nowhere near 30 years old. In dog years, maybe.
Taylor Swift is 26.
26 years old. She earned $170 million last year because of her 1989 tours. She's got several endorsement deals with Diet Coke and Apple and shoe deals.
Is that direct deposit? Does she get a check? How does that work?
don't know the intricacies of her bank account. I've clearly failed you. She is the highest paid woman in music overall. Number two on the list is One Direction.
Okay.
That makes sense.
We call it 1D, where I come
1D,
from.
1D, that's right, I know.
Yeah.
Do you know who Lionel Messi is?
Any relation?
Soccer player.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, I do know Messi. Player.
Argentine soccer.
Hot soccer player.
Messi, is that how, is that
yeah,
the, is
Messi,
that,
yeah.
That's both his name and nickname.
Correct.
Hey, Messi.
Charlie McMurray's got a jersey. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Adele is number four.
Never heard of her.
On the list.
Hello?
Doesn't ring a bell. Okay.
Let me introduce you to her. Hello.
Can I just say that I love Adele? I love Adele. I'm saying it right now. I love when she talks. She's very humble. She's got a wonderful voice. I hear her song in the car. I cry like a baby. All right. Who's next?
Rihanna would be number five.
Isn't she over 30? Are you sure about that?
We checked.
Okay.
We checked your birth certificate.
Any shockers in the top 10?
Birthmarks, tattoos, scars. We check everything. Before we do a story, we do a complete full body check on everybody before we even mention their names ever.
Where's the Biebs? He's got to be in
Biebs
there.
Biebs is number six.
No. Biebs is number six.
Biebs is number six.
And anything about Colin Farrell? What's going on with him?
Well, yes, oddly enough, we do have something. He is one of the stars of this new movie, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, that will open on Friday. This is the Harry Potter prequel movie that J.K. Rowling wrote. It's not based on a book. She wrote it as a screenplay. I've seen it. I'm going to give it a good review on Friday. I'll tell you more about it then. But, you know, Colin Farrell used to be when I would interview Colin Farrell. You know, we would interview him and then spend about 6 hours having to edit the interview to cut out all the F-bombs that he would
I could see that.
Drop during the interview.
Was he smoking, too?
It used to be that when you walked into the room, it was, like, foggy, like it was yesterday morning. And you walk out as if you were in a bar, you know, back in the old days, how your clothes smelled when you went to a smoky bar. Mm-hmm. That's what it was like interviewing Colin Farrell. Nonstop smoking, nonstop swearing. He's completely changed now. He's no longer this wild child. And in fact, that's what we talked about. He's in this is kind of a family film, and he's kind of changed the kinds of movies that he has been in lately. Kind of because he is now a father, which he told us about. Doing films like this, does that mean something to you, being a dad, of doing, you know, films that are a little more, I don't know, child-friendly, exactly?
Yeah,
you
sure.
You know what I mean?
This would certainly be more child-friendly than the majority of stuff I've done. It's really lovely. Do you know what? I'll be fascinated to see what my boys think of it. They may just... They're so bored of me anyway that they may just completely be into it until the moment where I first step on the screen, and then they may be turned off. But it's good that they'll be able to have a look.
I can't imagine having Colin Farrell as your dad would, even 1 minute of that would be boring.
Dull as dishwater.
How could that be?
Dull as dishwater, man, because they don't care about, you know, any of that stuff. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but they get pretty, they have no interest in any of this stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, so he just seems like he would be a really fun dad.
Seems like a likable guy, but did you see True Detective season 2 with him and Vince Vaughn?
I saw a couple of them. I checked out of it pretty early.
You and everybody else.
Yeah.
That was a hunk of garbage.
Yeah.
Yes.
The movie's going to open on Friday. Eddie Redmayne is in it. Really fun. Definitely if you're a Harry Potter fan, you're going to enjoy it. But I'll tell you a lot more about it on Friday.
I love it. Steve will be here on Friday. Are you here next week when I'm here?
I believe I am.
Fantastic.
I believe I am.
All right. Thank you, Dean.
Have a delightful day. Welcome back from vacation.
Thank you, buddy. All right, it's 8:31. The big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
God, I love hearing Christmas, tunes. 8:41, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back tomorrow. The 103rd annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony is happening this Friday at Millennium Park. In studio with us is Aaron Bauer, the project manager, and Matt Nelson, the deputy commissioner of the ice rink at Millennium Park. Is that right, Matt?
Correct.
Nice. Aaron, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Matt, for having us.
Thank you for coming in.
Sure.
So what happens on Friday? Tell us about it.
Friday night, we kick off the event with a program starting at 6 p.m. in Millennium Park. We'll have cast members from Stomp, the international percussion group, who will perform, followed by cast members from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the musical. And we'll get everyone in the holiday spirit with the Chicago Community Chorus, who will sing a bunch of Christmas carols. And, of course, we'll have a special appearance by Santa and Mrs. Claus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then following the program, we'll do the official countdown, and then we'll light up the tree.
Where do you get the tree?
The tree actually came from a family in Wakanda. The Bill Shola family donated the tree.
Do you always find a tree in the state of Illinois?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Within 50 miles of Chicago.
Got it. And do they bring it down on a flatbed?
Yes, they do.
Wow.
Yeah.
They pull it up?
Yeah, it's been here for a while,
hasn't
it?
Where do you get a tree stand for a tree like that?
You have to custom make one, and that's what we did last year when the tree got to Millennium Park.
Okay. Does it have, like, cords on it? Like,
yeah, there's guide
stabilizing,
wires and a very solid
guide
base.
Wires.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
And the ice rink, when does that open?
The ice rink will open this coming Friday at noon as well, just before the tree lighting ceremony that evening, and we're looking forward to welcoming over 100,000 skaters, just like last year.
How does that work with the crazy weather we have in November? Because it's 60, it's 30, it's back up to 50.
Right. We're really fortunate at Millennium Park. We have a really high-tech system, and you know, we have a lot of years of experience now lately where it's a little warm in November, but we're pretty confident we'll be up and ready to go on Friday.
I mean, that means the holiday season when you see the ice rink and people skating on the ice. I love it.
Right.
It's fantastic.
It's a great workout.
Aaron.
Yes.
If people are listening right now, they want to come in from the suburbs, where do they park? What do they do?
Well, it's best to take public transportation if at all possible.
Okay.
But there are plenty of parking garages in the area. They just may have to wait a little bit afterward to get out of the city with the crowds.
That's how it is.
That's how it is every day, right?
Any event in Chicago.
But has it always been 2 days? Hasn't it just the celebration?
It's always been a one-day tree lighting.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But Saturday, you're having things as well, aren't you? Isn't stuff going on Saturday or no?
Well, on Saturday, it is the Mag Mile Parade.
The Mag Mile Parade.
But, you know, we'll be open with our Santa House, and also the ice rink will be its first full day of operation.
Okay. So you're trying to kind of incorporate both of them.
So the Christmas tree is 69 feet?
69 feet tall, correct.
How many lights do you put on this tree?
Over 50,000.
50,000 lights.
Mm-hmm.
And who puts the ornaments on? Do you put it on before or do you have a lift? What do you do?
There's actually no ornaments. It's all lights. And the lights were donated and installed by IBEW Local 134.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And where do you plug it in? You just plug it into a socket you find out there? I mean, how does that work? You got an
extension
cord? We're
keeping our fingers crossed.
Because I'm putting up my lights this weekend. I'm trying to get the visual here, you know.
There's a little control electrical panel there that, you know, Millennium Park's fairly new, 12 years old, and there's a lot of power, so we're able to light the tree pretty effectively.
If people have never come downtown during the holidays, I mean, it's pretty special downtown Chicago, isn't it, Aaron?
It definitely is. It's a very family-friendly event, too.
I mean, it's great. You see the Christmas tree. You can walk over to Macy's. You can check out the windows. I mean, everything is so beautiful down here.
Yep.
And depending on the weather, I mean, I know Saturday it's going to be cold, but over the holidays, it may get warmer. You just don't know. Yeah. If people want more information, where can they go?
To our website, www.cityofchicago.org /DCase or www.millenniumpark.org.
How is it being the deputy of the ice rink at Millennium Park?
It's truly an honor to have that title.
Do you have your own skates? Can you skate?
I do not, but I do know how to skate.
Okay, good.
And I'll be out there on Friday skating.
I just learned to skate a few years ago. It's good for your hips. It's a good workout. It really is.
It's a great rink, too.
It is.
I love skating out there.
And you have the Park Grill right there. You can go in and have a pop, which is nice. All right. Aaron and Matt, thank you for coming in. It's good
Thanks,
to see you.
Pete. Thank you.
All right, it's 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The images are ones we will never forget. Aerial footage showing a 3.5 mile long path of destruction after a tornado tore its way through central Illinois and one town in particular.
And it sounded like a freight train. Things were coming through the ceiling. Your sense of life just leaves your body for a minute.
Digging through rubble and searching for, neighbors and making sure that everybody was safe. And just in disbelief of what had just happened and how quickly it happened.
There's been a common theme, kind of overcoming and putting the past kind of behind us and moving on, kind of rebuilding.
Overcoming is right. This hour of the Steve Cochran Show is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. Pete in for Steve. He's back tomorrow. On the phone with us, I became a good friend with this man 3 years ago after the tornado hit in Washington, Illinois. We've kept in touch, and I'm proud to say that I've been to Washington, and Mr. Mayor Gary Menier from Washington, the town looks fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. We're real proud of where we're at.
I'll never forget that day because the Bears were playing in Soldier Field, and I was upstairs watching the game. I was doing the show 2.5 Bears with Hamp and Kaz, and we had to come down because they evacuated the stands at Soldier Field. I was talking to my brother who was at the game at the time, and he said no one knew what was going on. We had Tom Skilling on, and Tom told us about the EF4 tornado that went through Washington. So, Gary, tell me about that day. Take me back to that day, and we'll talk about the good that's happened from that day.
Sure. The Bears have sent us a flag that flew at the stadium that day that we flew when George McCaskey brought a group of the rookies down to work. So we've utilized that flag a couple times, and we appreciate everything they've done. Yeah, it's amazing that how that morning started out, obviously 74 degrees and warm, but a real strange feeling that morning as it led up to the events of what happened. And, we don't want to dwell on actually what happened so much, but the good that came out of it is neighbors are neighboring again, and now we know who lives across the street and next door. Maybe not had even known their names before. There's block parties, there's get-togethers that they have cookouts, they are really communicating with each other. But the good that came was all the volunteers and your station, WGN. We kept saying don't forget about us, and you did an unbelievable job to. You know, we had over 13,000 volunteers that we actually registered. We know we had more than that, but because of the story that you kept telling, the help we needed, the volunteers just kept coming from, especially from the Chicagoland area and the Central Illinois area.
Even in the worst of times, you can find hope. And the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you had a get together. You invited the entire town at the town square. What is that building that you call in the middle of Washington?
Well, it's not actually a town square, but it's Five Points, Washington. It's our community center,
okay,
which is located near the high school. And John McDonough and the Blackhawks came in.
The entire Blackhawks caravan showed up. I mean, everybody.
Absolutely.
Jay Blunk, yeah, who's from Bloomington, Illinois. John McDonough, you name it. Pete Hassan was there. Adam Rogowin was there. Everybody showed up from the Hawks.
And I met you for the first time that day, I believe, in person.
We talked on the phone many times, and you embraced me. We had a bromance from there on out, didn't we?
Well, you've been so good to us, and obviously being from Central Illinois may have helped a little bit, but I think that was part of the story because I had one of the camera guys tell me that, I said, why is this such a story in Chicago? And he says, well, Mayor, not everybody grew up in downtown Chicago. Everybody's small town America, you know.
You're right. Yes, and Steve got involved. He brought the Steve Cochran Show down there. I was broadcasting with him, and just our listeners showed up. They donated money. They wanted to volunteer. You had Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon. He put together a concert there. It just kept going on and on. The members of Chicago wanted to get involved. They put on a concert. It was just this outpouring of love and support for the city of Washington.
Yeah, it was incredible, and obviously, keeping the story alive, but, when Rock to the Rescue came in, and you see someone like Larry the Cable Guy and Kevin Cronin and Tommy Shaw standing in the debris field, and I can remember Larry the Cable Guy saying, I'm supposed to be funny, but there's nothing funny here.
Right.
And the tears rolling down Kevin Cronin and Tommy Shaw's face, and that was the afternoon before they played. And obviously, I was on your show in studio there, and you had Kevin Cronin call in and say hello to me, if you remember that.
Yes, absolutely, I remember.
Mr. Mayor, spending some time down there, I went to Bradley along with Pete as well, and seeing it from a distance, I never had any doubt that a community like Washington would rally around itself and rebuild. I mean, there's such a strong spirit of community in Central Illinois, and maybe we kind of lose that up here in the big city in Chicago.
Well, life can get busy, you know, when you're, you know, an hour commute or whatever it is to and from work, sometimes your life becomes so involved in getting to and from work, and then you get involved in your work, and we're a little maybe slower here from a standpoint of, but I think families are important throughout the country, and I think the heart of Illinois is a great place to raise a family, and the thing I keep telling people, it's what you do prior to disasters that help communities, and I think the relationships you build and the type of community you become really helps once something like this happens.
And Gary, tomorrow you have your prayer breakfast, is that correct?
I do, and you know, it's interesting because Pastor Tom Zobrist, which is Ben Zobrist's father, is our guest speaker in the morning, and I talked to Tom last week, and you'll get a kick out of this. He said, do you want me to strictly preach on the scripture? Do you want me to, you know, do this or that, or can I talk baseball? And I said, if you don't talk baseball, they're going to run you and I both out that morning.
Right. Yes.
Tell him to bring the trophy with him.
I don't think he has the trophy yet. That's down the road. But if people don't know, Ben grew up in Eureka, Ben Zobrist.
Yep, 8 miles from us, you bet. And it's just excited to have, you know, obviously it's interesting because, you know, Jim Tomey was in the studio that day when the Cochran Show was here, and you got a chance to talk to Jim Tomey. Jim Tomey throws out the first pitch in Cleveland. Grew up a Cub fan.
Yes.
And Zobrist and then Zach McAllister, a pitcher for Cleveland from Chillicothe here. So kind of a Central Illinois connection in Game 7.
I mean, we're all proud of our hometowns where we grew up, but I couldn't be prouder, and I'm so glad that we've remained friends after, you know, these 3 years.
Oh, it's been great. I really appreciate it, and your friendship's been incredible. And I don't think it's because you have two brothers here. I think you and I connected because of what happened, and I think you really, everything you did was heartfelt, and that's what meant a lot to me.
So 3 years, is there anything you need?
Well, no. I mean, we're in a part right now where we just need to keep moving forward, and you know, a lot of people want to move past this. So we were going to have a ceremony tomorrow evening, and kind of start receiving some. Let's just move past it, and we've canceled that.
Right.
We'll just reflect.
That's great.
Prayer breakfast, and if folks want to move on, so do I. So, but we've come so far. It's, you know, we've got 159 houses built outside of what was affected, and so our population has actually increased quite a bit, and we're starting to see some business activity. You know, like these businesses were like, are they really going to completely rebuild, or are they going to lose population? So we're seeing four or five businesses open here in the last couple months. So,
well, you told me that 3 years ago when we first talked, people are going to want to move back to Washington, and they did, which is fantastic.
It is. It's phenomenal, and, you know, we cannot be more proud. And again, I want to give all the residents all the credit in the world, because if they don't rebuild, it's a whole different story, and you and I would be talking about woe is us. And
you're a great leader, Gary, and you're a good friend, and God bless everybody in Washington.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm going to make sure that I tell Pastor Tom, you got to get Ben on your show.
Let's do it. I love it. Now you're talking. You're speaking my language. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, and enjoy your time back at WGN. I'm proud to have you back.
Thank you, buddy. I am too.
You take care.
Washington Mayor Gary Menear. 3 years. Can you believe it?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
Who doesn't love this song? Come on.
Bound by wild desire.
720 WGN.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
Johnny Cash is America, wouldn't you say? He's all America. Singer-songwriter, one of the best-selling artists of all time. Who knew he wrote poetry? The new book is entitled Johnny Cash, Forever Words, The Unknown Poems. The foreword is by the only child of Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. On the phone with us is John Carter Cash. John, how are you?
Hey there. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Every time I hear Ring of Fire and everyone in the studio, everybody's smiling from ear to ear. Do you still get that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely so. No, I feel it also. It's there's no other recording like it in the world, most definitely.
What was it like growing up the son of an American icon?
Well, my father, you know, he was a good-hearted person. He was very gentle in nature and very kind. You know, he definitely had a stage persona that would come on the moment that he was in the limelight. However, it was the fact that he was, you know, a simple-hearted good man that made him a lot easier to deal with. And as my mother would say, hopefully he never got too big for his britches.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, I mean, that's what I remember. And I appreciate everybody's respect for him and the connection. And also, you know, the fact that it may be somebody going through struggles out there, 17 years old, and they hear one of my father's songs, and it gives them an understanding. He's a man of great mystery. After all is said and done, he was a good father and a simple man.
I mean, I'm sure you hear that all the time, how your father's music changed people's lives. I mean, I'm sure you get that on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. And he most certainly did, you know, still continues to impact people, you know, from the four-year-old who loves the song that you just played, Ring of Fire.
Right.
To, you know, to a person that finds hope and inspiration in the fact that my father was not afraid to speak of his shortcomings. And you know, so here's this great man that accomplished so much, and still he was so human, and would put that out front for everyone to see before he spoke of what he believed in, and you know, but that's part of who he was.
How true to life was the movie with Joaquin Phoenix on Johnny Cash?
You know, I mean, you can only do so much in 2 hours. I believe they did tell a beautiful love story within that time period. There was a lot more to my father that is to be found upon deeper delving. But this Forever Words book that is out right now, the poetry book, I believe that it paints a full and accurate picture, if you read the words, of a lot of the different aspects of my father's character. The struggles that he had in his life, his addictions and his darknesses, the great loves that he had in his life, from his first wife Vivian, and then to, of course, his relationship with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also, if we want to know more about my father, who he really was, that in the face of the adversary of infirmity at the end of his life, that he continued with nearly preternatural strength, that is within these pages also. And so, you know, what is poetry? Perhaps it is beautiful, flowery words and complicated speech, but sometimes I believe poetry can be just as, if it touches us inside when we read the words, if it changes the way we feel, if it opens our minds and our hearts, that is poetry. And I believe that's what this book does.
I think his music was poetry too. And did your father, I'm sure he did he ever sing to you?
My dad never stopped singing when he was just for, you know, like in the essence of singing in the shower, that kind of thing. But they didn't, like, practice the music around the house. But my father was a walking encyclopedia of music. He never forgot a song that he sang. I remember him singing all the way through, like, a three-verse song to me one time. And I said, you know, where did that come from, Dad? He said, oh, I haven't sung this since I was 9 years old.
Jeez.
And he never forgot a song. I mean, he could get up on stage and sing something as random as Sloop John B, you know, and he'd turn around to the band and say, here, let's play Stump the Band. And he'd break off into something they'd never played before.
He did it before the Tonight Show.
he was an encyclopedia of music. He truly was.
The book is called Johnny Cash, Forever Words. On the phone with us is John Carter Cash. The book of poetry, did you ever see your father writing? I'm sure he was writing music, but did you know that he was writing poetry too?
Yeah, and he would write things that came to his heart and to his mind, and there's some great examples of that, you know, within this book. From the very beginning, the youngest thing in here that he wrote was when he was 12 years old. It's called The Things Were Frightened At.
the things I'm frightened at. I can't quite remember. All the way up through the very end of his life, the poem Forever that is on the back of the book, that says, the trees I planted still are young, the songs I sang will still be sung. So, I mean, even such profound statements, you know, some of them short or whatever, I remember him, you know, sitting around and writing poetry and songs and lyrics and ideas, and sometimes he would have a melody to something, and sometimes he wouldn't. Sometimes it would be something that he just wrote the poem.
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, of course, you mentioned a stage persona as opposed to what he was like at home and around you guys. Where did the dressing in black clothing come from, and did he dress in black around the house?
Well, my mother always said that he wore black to cover the stains. and if you listen to the words of Man in Black, perhaps that is, you know, how he felt, that he wears it for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. He wears it for the criminal who's long paid for his crime but is there because he's a victim of the time. But then he goes on to say, I would love to wear a rainbow every day. And that's the guy that I remember, that in the face of life's darknesses, he would put on light. He would find humor, and that's an aspect of his character I believe not as many people are as aware of. But that is here within these pages, Forever Words, if one seeks it out.
I feel like Johnny Cash wakes up. He used to wake up in the morning, you know, the hair hanging down. He's got the black T-shirt on, the black jeans, and a guitar on his back, and ready to go.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
What about the John? I got to ask you about the iconic picture. When you say Johnny Cash, there's a few visuals that come to mind, including the one where he's flipping off the camera. Where did that originate? Do you know the where that originated?
I feel like that was taken at San Quentin when he was there making the film.
Okay.
And it was he was working with Jim Marshall, who was the photographer for San Quentin. He was also the photographer for Folsom Prison Blue. Folsom Prison. And Jim Marshall had been in his face for days with that camera, you know, flicking picture after picture after picture. And so finally, he just turned around and raised up the finger and gave the proverbial "you know what" to
right.
Mr. Marshall. And that's it was tongue in cheek. It was meant playfully, you know, Jim was quite an interesting character, and he was a good friend of Dad's. So they were just having fun together, and he was basically saying, "You get that flipping camera out of my face, please."
Got it. And one more thing, one more thing before you go, I got to ask you: when he played Folsom Prison, does your mother have any stories that she told him not to do it? I mean, did she say, "Hey, Johnny, what are you doing? Why are you playing a prison? These guys are murderers."
No, I don't think so.
She just let him do it.
So. I think she understood why he wanted to do it. I think they both felt that there were a lot of people within those walls that had served for their crimes, or even if they had committed the crimes, they still deserved to be, you know, treated kindly and with humanity, and have music played for them. And so I think she was probably right there with him, smiling along with my grandmother and her sisters.
The book is called Johnny Cash, Forever Words, The Unknown Poems, foreword by John Carter Cash. John, thanks for coming on. Pleasure to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
It is 720 WGN. I could talk about Johnny Cash forever. He's one of those guys that you just kind of wanted to hang out with, that you wanted to see in concert. Mm-hmm. He was just gritty America, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And you guys know what the photo I was talking about, where he flipped off the camera? Mm-hmm. You've seen it 100 times, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
Today's a big day if you're a donut fan.
Who isn't?
Is it donut day? A donut day?
Krispy Kreme Pumpkin Spice Original Glazed Donut returns for one day only, and that is today.
Why didn't they bring us some?
I've never had the Pumpkin Spice Original Glazed Donut from Krispy Kreme.
I'm sure it's all things nice.
I think I have had one. They're unbelievable.
I've had one donut since 1990. And I can tell you where it is. I went to the Donut Vault. I was doing a TV story. The Donut Vault, you know what I'm talking about? It's at the corner of Franklin and Kinsey.
Okay.
It's a small little place, okay, the size of your master bathroom.
Yeah.
And people wait in line. Once the donuts are done,
mm-hmm,
they close the doors. And that's it. They don't advertise. They don't have a phone. They just send it out on Twitter.
So they make a certain amount.
And that's
of
it.
Donuts.
The
yeah.
Greatest donut
Why
I've ever
is it,
had.
Was that your last donut ever?
That was the only donut. You got to cut
Why?
Certain things out of your diet because I'm an overeater. Mary, well, I come from a long line of overeaters.
Oh, do what I do. Eat a half a donut.
I
people get so mad at me because I take the box and yeah. I just like split it in half and I leave the other half.
How does that work?
Why? You just eat half the donut.
It doesn't work for me. I got to eat the whole thing.
That's Why? Like a half a sandwich.
That's what I do. I eat a half sandwich
What
too.
Do you do with the other half?
I don't make another half. I just make,
but how do you make
one
a half
piece
sandwich?
Of bread. I cut it after I, hello.
Okay. I had a sandwich yesterday.
That's
a
routine.
I was going to eat after the show. I was going to have a half during the show and a half after. And at 8 o'clock yesterday, I ate the whole sandwich.
Well, yeah, you're starving. By,
right.
Yeah. But I mean, I have my lunch at like 10:30.
I can't eat a half of anything.
It's,
if you
yeah,
give me.
You can do it. Willpower.
No. Portion control. That's
that,
my
that
problem.
Too. Get a smaller plate that you can only fit half a sandwich on.
You sound like my wife. We got rid of the big plates. We got the small plates at our house. We don't have the big plates anymore.
Oh, no. Let's get them at the restaurant. They still have the big plates. So that's why people are getting heavier and heavier.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to donuts.
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, are you a traditional guy? Or are you like, there's a donut place on the West Coast. It's in Portland, actually.
Okay.
It's called Voodoo Donuts. And the line stretches around the corner. Because they make like maple bacon, they have creations that they put on these donuts.
Are they glazed?
They're frosted, glazed. I mean everything.
But I feel like that's the new craze now. Like the donut vault does that. People wait around the corner. Stan's donuts.
Yeah,
people love Stan's.
When I was working, when I was working on the West Coast, I would travel to Portland for basketball, and I was told you got to wait in line. Doesn't matter how long the wait, because they have these donuts that you're never going to forget. I looked at the line and said, forget about that. I can go to...
Waiting in line for a donut.
Yeah,
I mean, it
I
would stretch around the corner.
I don't know if I do
just
that.
Just amazing.
That's too much work.
I'd wait in line for popcorn, Garrett's popcorn, for sure, though. I would do that.
Well, you got a guy. You're in Chicago. You got a guy.
I
Somebody
know,
can go get you Garrett's
like,
popcorn.
I would do that if I had to, you know, if they were limited.
Speaking of the holidays, that's Garrett's means the holidays, doesn't it?
Oh.
Slam dunk.
God, this is great. Everything starts next week at Thanksgiving. It kicks off.
Oh, man, I got to start shopping.
You can eat what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You Elastic actually go
waistbands,
out,
yeah.
You go out to the stores?
Yes.
To shop?
Yes, I do.
Everything online for
no
me,
way.
Man. I
like
will not
to see
step
it.
In a store.
I like to feel
no.
it. I like to make sure it's the right size.
Order it up. If it doesn't fit my wife, she can take it back.
No.
Absolutely.
If it's something like a movie, a book, I'll order it. But if it's something clothes-wise, no.
I'm almost done. I think I have two more items to buy, and I'm done.
Oh, you're a guy. You don't
It's always
much.
Good when your sports team wins something. Makes it a really easy holiday.
Yes.
Get me anything Cubs-related. I'm good. Back in a second with the big story at 720 WGN. Yeah. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Stomp will play the Broadway Playhouse at Watertower Place starting today. For tickets, go to BroadwayInChicago.com. Stomp is in studio with us. Good to see you guys. Artists, come up to the microphone. You guys can dial it down. First of all, you guys are playing, what is that, candy? They're candy boxes.
No, these are match boxes.
Match boxes.
Yeah.
That's what you're playing. I'm
That's
looking
right.
for instruments, or you're going to pick up something and play. Nothing. You're playing match boxes.
You hear it. It is an instrument.
That's the thing. You can turn anything into an instrument,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And we enjoy doing that.
If people are listening right now, have never seen Stomp, they don't know anything about it, explain what it is.
So what we do is we take everyday items and we turn them into musical instruments and we make beautiful music, kind of like what you just heard.
And you stomp to it,
and
right?
And we stomp to it, that's right.
Okay. Do you want to introduce everybody here?
Absolutely. I think everyone may want to introduce themselves.
Okay.
Yes, my name is Carlos Thomas. I'm from New York.
I am Ivan Salazar from San Diego, California.
I am Crystal Renee from New York City.
And I am Artis Oles from right here in Chicago, Illinois.
Nice. What's it like performing in front of your home crowd?
Oh, it's great. I can't wait. You know, I'm actually chomping at the bit a bit to get on stage tonight and show Chicago what Stomp is all about.
I feel like you guys are everywhere. You're going to be at the tree lighting, right?
That's right.
Tell us where you're going to be in the next week. Do you remember?
Oh, man. There's so many places. I'll say it like this. The first thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you go to BroadwayChicago.com so you can get tickets for the show.
Smart.
You can also go ahead and probably check us on all of our social media and see exactly where it is we're going to be, because we would love to see Chicago out in force to check Stomp out. We want you guys to come and stomp with us.
Is there a Stomp site? Stomp on Twitter? Stomp on Facebook, or do you have your own?
StompOnline.com.
That's right.
Okay, that's easy. So tell me what you guys are going to be playing this morning. We got a garbage can over here. We got matchboxes. What else do we have?
Some paint cans. And
paint cans.
Trash bag.
Now, who comes up with this? Who thinks this up?
Our people that came up with it was Luke Cresswell and Steve McNicholas.
Okay.
And the show is actually, a lot of people think it's from New York, but it's actually from England.
Really?
It's an English show, yeah. And it started in New York City in 1994, and we've been going for almost 22 years now straight.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean, everybody thought it originated from New York, so yeah. it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Okay. So what are you going to do for us right now?
Bang on some trash cans.
So when people come see you at Water Tower at Broadway in Chicago, what are they going to see? They're going to see you playing and dancing at the same time.
That's right. So you're going to see just an all-around performance. It's a lot of energy, a lot of music. It's going to be fun.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to it.
Ready?
Yeah. Okay. Stomp in studio with us. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com for ticket information. It opens today at Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. Okay, you got to tell me about the formal training for this when you guys try out. Okay. Artists, we're going to put you on newspaper. Just open it up and close it in front of a microphone. How does that work?
You know, before you stomp, you haven't stomped. It's that simple.
So you have to know how to dance, first of all, right?
Well, not necessarily.
Okay. Can you guys dance?
You have to love to stomp. I think it's that simple.
Yeah, we have dancers, we have drummers, we have people that don't do anything. What we really just trying to do is just teach you, just have a sense of rhythm.
I feel like I could be the newspaper guy.
Yeah.
I really could.
You know, hold on.
I could throw it in there.
I think we can hand you a newspaper. Let's see if we can.
I mean, you guys are playing a newspaper where you were doing the newspaper. You had a stapler and a garbage bag. Yeah. Right?
Yes, I did. I really enjoyed them, actually.
That's pretty impressive.
Cool sounds.
I mean, the garbage bag, you wouldn't think of that.
Yeah.
That's funny. So you try out for this, and they're like, you're going to be the newspaper guy, you're going to be the garbage can or the garbage bag girl.
No, not really. I think once, whatever number we're doing, everybody has the same prop.
But so everybody has rhythm, so you know rhythm. You could pick up anything and make
basically
music out of it.
Yep.
Have you guys always been like that your whole life?
I have.
Yeah.
In school, banging on the desk.
Yeah.
Right.
Banging on lockers.
Now I just don't get in trouble for it, which is great.
It's weird. Yeah, you're getting paid for it now.
Cool. Yeah.
In your home city.
That's were you guys all percussionists growing up? I mean, in high school or whatever, is that what you did in the band? Were you percussionists?
A lot of us are. Like Carlos was saying, some of us are dancers, some of us are drummers, some of us are actors, comedians,
or just doormen that just had something about them, some kind of, I don't know, niche, something that just grabs your attention. So when you come see the show, you're going to see 8 different people, completely different people from all walks of life, all types of ethnicities, and from different parts of the world. And I think one thing that's often overlooked in the show is the element of the comedy. A lot of people don't know, but there's a lot of visual humor that goes along all throughout the show, and it's interwoven with the amazing choreography and high-octane energy.
Is every show different?
Yes, definitely.
We've got it seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Different people come in and out of the show, too. So, you know, there's always different people to feed off of and work with, and that always changes the show.
And then our music, and we have time to improv and make up rhythms ourselves, for like right on the spot. You know, you solo, you just do whatever you want. You do what you feel. Mm-hmm. You know, so every show is, you know, musically different and visually different. Every show, it's different.
So there's got to be chemistry between you guys, because if you start improvising, you guys have to join in, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right. It's like being in a band. You know, when you improv, you know, all the musicians have to be listening together. So we, that's how we stay tight as a unit.
Take me back to the audition process for a second, because I have Chorus Line, the movie, in my head, okay? Is it like that? Are you guys standing there and they say, okay, you, you're out of here. You guys stay.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Artis just recently went through this. Maybe you should ask him.
Artis, tell me about it. How was the process?
It's
intense. How many days?
How many days?
It was 3 days, yeah.
Three days. Okay.
So a 3-day process, you go in and, you know, they want to see what you can do. And they want to see, I think more importantly, they want to see what you're capable of as far as what you can learn in the future. Because once again, you know, nobody grew up stomping. You know, so
or playing a garbage bag.
So, you know, they taught us to do that, and we've enjoyed it. I think everyone here has been here for different amounts of time for, you know, one reason or another, and it's because the show is awesome, you know, really.
God, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, after seeing you guys do one song, it's like, I want to go. I mean, you hooked me in right away.
When you coming?
Yeah. Let's go.
Tonight?
What do you got tonight?
Yeah, here we go.
My son's got a band concert tonight, but I'm here.
Great.
BroadwayInChicago.com for ticket information. Stomp, can you do one more song? Take us into a commercial? You got anything?
Sure. Let's
Let's improv it,
let's
man.
Just use our hands.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I like hands.
The hands. Amazing. BroadwayInChicago.com. Stomp will be playing the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. It is 720 WGN. Thanks, guys.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve is back tomorrow. How about Stomp?
Awesome. Wow.
If you have rhythm, you can play anything.
We got a stomper coming back. Oh, forgot his coat. Can't stomp on that.
God, I wish. I feel like I have rhythm, but I don't really have rhythm.
Well, if you don't know if you have rhythm, you probably don't have it.
Damn it.
How are you at dancing at weddings?
I think I can dance, especially when
are
I'm all
like
liquored up.
Elaine from Seinfeld, where everybody just doesn't want to have anything
the little
to do
kicks.
With you.
I can dance to the beat. Absolutely, I can.
Yeah.
Are you guys dancer at weddings?
Oh, I'd love to dance at weddings.
No.
I'm crazy. My husband won't come anywhere near me at a wedding because I'm nuts.
You're a big dancer.
I love to dance.
Andy?
I love it.
You got rhythm?
I used to.
What do you mean? Once you have rhythm, you always have rhythm.
No, well, you know, I can't dance anymore because bad knees, you know?
Oh, come on.
Everybody can dance. Come on.
You can slow dance.
Get around a little bit.
Slow dance I can do.
Slow dance is easy.
Yeah.
Arms on the shoulders.
Just sway to the funky music.
Yes. Arms on the... I have a wedding this weekend.
Oh, fun.
I had surgery. I have a boot on my foot.
Who's going to
dance with
anyway?
My wife?
I went to a wedding with a boot on my foot.
Okay. Did you
and
dance?
And I went to Minnesota. I actually flew on a plane with my boot. I went and I danced with my boot.
Do you have to take off the boot if you go through security? I have it on for another 2 weeks.
I can't remember what I did. I think... No, I think they let me through. But, yeah.
Did they? Stomp will be appearing starting today at Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com. When she was playing the garbage bag,
that was incredible.
Oh, my God.
I was like, what is she going to do with that garbage bag? I thought she was going to pop it. You know how you can explode a bag? And I thought, she's going to pop that in my ear. Whoa.
I feel like I could play the newspaper.
I think you would be very good at the newspaper.
I think I could do the newspaper.
But you have to open and close to a beat, Pete.
I can hit the beat. You play to the drum.
I can play
the
pen.
That's what you do.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, the other woman was playing the stapler.
Yeah, I think she walked out with it. You know, we keep losing staplers.
There was a hanger over here that was about to get played.
She didn't bring the stapler?
I think it was our stapler. It was
our stapler.
Garbage can. God. It was, yeah.
That was great.
Then she had that hanger. I was a little nervous about that, too.
She didn't play that in the paint cans.
She said it was pretty.
Can I just say, this show has flown by. Mm-hmm. I've had so much fun. It's great to be back here. It's been 18 months. It's like I went to sleep, I had a bad dream, and I woke up and I was back here in the Showcase Studios. And are we the first show to broadcast live in the new Allstate Showcase Studios? After the paint shop?
Let's just say yes.
Let's say yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nobody else is here to defend themselves. Yeah.
Steve is back tomorrow. I'm here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday next week.
I'll be there.
Andrea's back.
I'll be there with you next week.
I'm here.
Okay.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is everybody in or out of town for Thanksgiving?
In.
Okay.
Out.
Where are you going?
Northern Woods, Wisconsin.
What? Northern Woods.
North Woods. What
city?
Wisconsin. Drummond, Wisconsin.
Drummond, Wisconsin.
By Hayward, yeah.
I'll be down in P-Town if anybody wants to stop by Peoria.
Say hi to Ivani's for me.
I will. I'll grab you some sandwiches. All right, we'll say hi to Bill and Wendy coming up next on 720 WGN.